much fun to be
a part of Busy Town.
Hey, everybody. And welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. I'm trying to get the show started, and literally no one will let me. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Ippolito.
And do you have more to add to that?
I was thinking about it.
Is this you dressed up, Gina? You keep saying you don't want to do the video because you look haggard and horrible, and so
you mean Gina came dressed at like me.
I forgot that there was video today.
It's super weird that you are both dressed exactly the same.
Yeah, look, Gina puts on a black hoodie. She's like, look at me, I'm Ray. I have bad opinions on things.
I forgot that we were doing video. I hate everything.
Did you think we were filming our episode of The Traitors, Gina? Is that what we were doing?
I'm gonna
be up in the bell tower plotting Chan's demise.
We would be so bad at The Traitors.
I'd be great. What are you talking about? Though the problem is everyone would suspect me from the moment for I'd be the first one out of the show one way or the other. It's what happens whenever I play werewolf. Because I'm pretty decent at detection. Don't laugh at me. I can usually suss at least one person out pretty good by how they're different they're acting. And other people also don't like to listen to me boss them around, so I just get killed first off either way.
Chan and I have been voting you off for 9 years, and you haven't noticed it, so you're not good at this game.
No, I'm just I can't take no for an answer. That's my problem.
Yeah. We vote him off, and he just doesn't leave.
That's true.
It's an island. What are you going to do? Where am I going? There's no speedboat to take me away. That is one crazy thing about those shows is that they just, like, when you get eliminated from the show, you just go to a hotel that they don't show on camera that's still on the island, so you're just there still the whole time, which is crazy to me.
Free vacation. That sounds awesome.
Look, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show, but I was in the final round for a show called The Mole, which is my favorite reality show. Yeah, I was almost on that show a long time ago. With my hook being professional wrestler, I think they had like 12 or 14 people on the show, and I was down to the final like 25 or 20 or something like that, and I didn't make the final cut because I think they thought I was insane because I was going for it to get on TV. Maybe reality TV. Yeah, I say I was going for it. I was just being normal, you guys.
Yeah, no, we can tell.
Chan sus me. It's fine. I can accept it.
Anyway, you guys. I don't know if you believe
nailed
me
it.
Or not, but
nailed it. Don't play poker with Chan.
Ray. I don't even have to wear a black hoodie to be Ray.
But you would, though.
You should have.
I can't believe you didn't, quite honestly.
Can we get this thing over with? Look, I had to watch it on normal speed instead of 1.5 speed. And
with commercials.
It was torture. God.
Took a long time. Well, look,
24 minutes. Gina's like, I'm going to die.
I mean, I watched it in 1 minute chunks in between working. So,
that's correct. That holds
is your
up.
Work watching other things?
Yes.
Gina has that full screen.
I watched it in between watching Daredevil Born Again episode 3, Invincible episode 8. And Severance, the new Severance. I'm working on a lot, guys. Working on a lot of TV watching.
Taskmaster Series 6, and I feel like I'm the big winner here.
Interesting. I was going to watch John Wick Part 4 today. I've never seen it before. And I sat down to watch it this afternoon, and then I saw it was 2 hours and 49 minutes. And I said, no, that can't be right. Obviously, there's a mistake. No. Somehow they made a John Wick movie longer, like the length of Endgame. Somehow. How? I ended up watching 2.5 minutes and then turning it off because I was like, I cannot commit.
Did you watch those 2.5 minutes on 1.5 speed?
I wish I had, honestly. slow to get going. I say after 2.5 minutes.
I need to know if anybody listens to this on 1.5 speed. Faster.
I can't believe I talk way too fast. I would think that would be nearly impossible. You would just miss it. Oh, I see why someone would do it now. Okay.
I will slow down in case anybody is listening fast.
It just sounds like
that
chattering hyenas.
They will understand me.
oh, did you got that thing of dolphin noises? No, that's just me listening to Knowing Is Half the Podcast on 3x speed.
One normal person and two people sounding like chittering chipmunks. What the hell?
Today we watched the Richard Scarry cartoon, which I'm into horror stuff, so I was very excited to check out Richard Scarry.
This is our special St. Patrick's Day episode.
Oh yeah, we should have opened that.
What the hell is
that? Oh, that's an Irish jig that you're singing? That's that thing they play in all the Guinness commercials. Are you doing the short form Irish jig game?
Jump around. Isn't that, we got House of Pain? Did I do that right?
Yeah. House of Pain, notorious short form improvising troupe. That's a funny joke for me.
As a kid, I loved Richard Scarry stuff. I was a huge fan. You give me that worm piloting an apple, it's the coolest crap on the planet.
Everybody was.
But the books, right? Not the books, not the show.
Oh, yeah, I was not even aware there was a show until today.
This is like the 90s or something like that.
I looked it up, 94 to 96. Started on Showtime, went to Nickelodeon.
Great.
I feel like maybe I vaguely remember this, but definitely too young for us old heads.
Mm-hmm. No, this is in the sweet spot of my life, or the not sweet spot, where I thought I was too mature to watch cartoons for just like a very short period of time at the end of high school, beginning of college in the mid 90s. Also,
this isn't like fucking Rugrats or something cool that like you could watch it if you were a teenager. This is like for 2 year olds.
You should be too mature to watch a cartoon like The Busy World of Richard Scarry. Right.
Well, I was. Okay. So I guess I win.
Stop bragging. Ray's like, listen, I don't want to brag, but this cartoon that is made for people who read at a toddler level, I was a little bit too old for it. Look, at 20.
Gina, I just would say the dialogue was a little over my head. I was doing my best to just like make sounds.
You know what? You're joking, but I guarantee you there is something you misinterpreted in these three episodes that we watched.
Oh, no.
Something you're going to breeze over that Chan and I are going to say, wait, Ray, is that what you think happened in this cartoon made for 2 to 4 year olds?
I guarantee now that will happen. but the problem was it wasn't just things like this. Obviously, I wouldn't have seen this, but it was like the good cartoons sort of that era I just sort of dipped out from. And I missed out on some great, like the Spider-Man cartoon from the 90s. Like, there's a lot of really good stuff I just didn't do.
Teenagers could watch that. This is, for anyone listening, this Richard Scarry is truly made for little kids. More so than I think any or most of the other cartoons we've watched. I will say that when it started up, I remembered Richard Scarry and I was like, oh, this looks like a goddamn delight. 20 seconds in, I realized it wasn't. And so I started to pretend that all of the townsfolk were different levels of criminals. And I will tell you what each of them is as we go through this episode.
Oh my God, what is happening? Because I thought this was delightful.
I loved this. I thought it was delightful.
It was delightful for 2 year olds. It was delightful for 2 year olds.
Hate joy.
I didn't. Yeah. I just had to watch it on normal speed.
You guys, it's the rare Gina versus Ray and Chan episode.
I agree that for a 2 year old, this is delightful. I wanted it. I wanted to watch it sped up.
Gina can't handle reality anymore. She needs things done on YouTube speed. She needs to be 7. She can just like get all of the information into her head without actually having to experience any of it. Gina's ready for the head in the jar singularity.
What if we could all get severed, but only just the podcast?
Oh my God. Well, but with the amount of the two of you podcast, that's like half your life.
To be fair, every time we start up an episode of this, Gina looks right at us and goes, Can we take a moment? I was just here.
I mean, truly, that is a torture room. If people haven't seen episode 7 of Severance yet, whoa, it's all about torture rooms. And a torture room would truly be someone just forced to record podcasts over and over and over and over and over.
You just described my version of heaven. What are you talking about? I would never stop recording podcasts if I had a chance. And I know Chan's the same way. Yeah, I see you smiling over there. Don't you deny it.
Which room hurts your brain? Room, the podcast room.
The podcast room.
I got to figure out how to get a Zolly effect on this podcast thing here.
Oh my gracious. We got to hear this opening theme song, of course, Robert Clark Chan. I'll reserve my statement on whether it's a banger or not. But I do think the people at home need to hear some of it.
All right. Well, I'll say this. Let's see. Let's get past the Paramount. I will stop it when I had my first flash of, oh no.
I thought you loved it. I thought you loved everything about this.
Well, this is delightful.
I wrote, looks like a goddamn delight.
Hey, it's time to laugh and play.
So have a happy day.
Come visit Fancy Town. Lots of things to do and see.
It's so much fun to be.
That one cat is a serial killer.
Are you shitting me? 30 seconds before we get a fat joke.
Also,
hey, look, the fat pig bending over, his fat fucking tail pops out of his fucking 90.
Also, that pig is a pedophile. I decided that the cat is a serial killer with bodies buried in the yard. The pig is a pedo.
Look, I would say right now, have any of us ever bent over and ripped your pants? Because it seems like it happened a lot in the cartoons from the 80s and 90s.
I guarantee you both of you have done that.
I have, in fact, done it before. Yes, that is an absolutely true statement. I was just curious if Chan had as well.
I mean, I can only assume that my innie has. I have no recollection of it.
Well, to be fair, it's real hard to rip jorts now that I think about it. So,
that's true. I mean,
why do you think I wear them?
I have worn nice pants that were maybe, I guess, a little too tight when I was younger. And I bent. This is when before I was a hideous monstrosity, and I was in slightly better shape. But I have ripped pants before. Just by bending over.
I've known tons of comedy guys that have like split their pants at a dress rehearsal or on stage. It happens all the time to boys.
Yeah, definitely. I shouldn't feel bad about it, right, guys? It's normal. Happens to a lot of guys.
Like stage clothes, sure. Yeah.
No, these were regular ass pants. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make here is we get our episode starting. Well, this is a three banger. So we're going to have three different thoughts, each one about 7.5 minutes long ish. And yeah, this opening one is about a gift, and we have our good friends, the worm and the pig child.
And the pig child.
I don't know what their names are.
Two things. One, he's got a fucking name. It's Lowly Worm.
Lowly Worm.
That's terrible.
Two, that's upsetting.
The cat's name appears to be Huckle, possibly Huckleberry. They call him Huck for short. I recall this because we have a cat named Huckleberry.
Uh-huh.
Certainly not based on this, but
it is like, now.
It's why it stuck, because I was like, oh shit, is that I will say this about names. The worm's name is Lowly Worm, which is fucking horrible.
It's not good. It's not good.
It is, but he's a horrible
the hero.
Thing.
He's the hero of the series.
Is he?
Oh, he's got the greatest character design I've ever seen. The way that, look, they do a bit several times in all these cartoons where you'll see the worm in essentially like a bust shot from like the way from like the shoulders up. And then all of a sudden he'll like his one foot that he's standing on will go up and like scratch the top of his head.
I mean, they show him skating in episode number 3 and he's the best skater in town. Yeah. I think he's the hero of this town because he gets to fly the apple.
I mean, honestly, when they pitched this, they must have been just like, just walked in, slammed down a picture of the worm in the apple car.
All I mean, we need.
You all remember this. Make it a show. And they're like, yes, of course we're going to do exactly that. Like, everybody knows that apple car. Everybody has at some point in their life dreamed of driving that apple car. Like a Wienermobile, fuck that. Anybody can drive a Wienermobile. But that apple car, holy shit.
I mean, also, but for the record, don't disrespect the Wienermobile, please.
Also, the apple worm was the one who was like on the book covers. That much I remember. So I assume he's our hero.
Big fan. Also, why the fact that he's doing... Well, go ahead.
As this opens, there's like a mouse flying a biplane, and it is too close to City Hall. That is how that is how terrorist attacks happen.
That's how we know it was 1994 and not post 9/11.
Wait, are you trying to imply, Gina, that Osama bin Laden watched the intro to the Richard Scarry cartoon and got us some ideas?
Yeah, he was like, mouse.
No. First off, he was like, boy, I would really like to have that apple car and drive around in an apple that seems so sweet. Oh, wait a minute. I could take a biplane. Oh, hey, guys, I got an idea. That's my Adriani accent, I think. Or Sally? Yeah. What was he?
No, that was very, very realistic, Jan.
Damn. It took him 18 years to perfect that plan, did it?
He got it together, though, in the end, unfortunately. Look,
Hold on. The thing about Lowly Worm.
Yes.
His parents named him Lowly Worm, which I don't ascribe to your everyone in this town is a fucking pedophile or a serial killer or whatever.
I just think it's more fun to imagine.
It is less fun because I already feel like I'm surrounded by fucking pedophiles and serial killers.
What is happening at that place you work?
No. I'm talking about America in general.
Oh, okay.
So you're saying you want the scary land to be its own thing. You want it untouched by today's politics.
It'd be nice. If you name someone Lowly, you are going to get a villain. Whatever kind of villain, I don't know if he's a serial killer, but I'm sure he cheats on his taxes, at least. I know this because Scar in Lion King, Scar's mm-hmm. original name, that's like a nickname, I guess, because like, look at you, I'm going to call you Scar. Thanks, fucking African wilderness beast, fucking non-creative garbage. Scar, his original name, the name his parents gave him is Taka, which means waste in Swahili. You fucking name your kid trash and you expect him to grow up to be a decent guy? No, he's going to try and kill his brother and take control of the country.
Maybe that he shouldn't have been worm. Such a terrible baby then.
Yeah. As soon as he came out, they're like, I don't like the look on his face. He's got a fucking attitude.
Maybe he gave him the finger coming out of that lion vag.
If he had control, that much control over his fingers, then you give that kid whatever you want. You call him a fucking miracle because having that kind of a fine motor function, that's impressive as hell.
You guys, I really thought we'd go this entire episode of Richard Scarry's Fun in Busy Town without mentioning Lion Vag, but I was wrong.
Yeah,
here we are, ladies and gentlemen.
As usual, isn't that redundant? Wrong.
Isn't pussy just like the same thing? Why would you say that?
I mean, you're not wrong. Listen, so the kids need to get a gift for their mom for her birthday.
Also, are they siblings?
Families come in all shapes and sizes, Chan.
Are you saying both of them were pushed out of a lion vag?
To be fair, it would be a lot easier for Lowly Worm to get pushed out of that lion vag. Maybe
true.
He was a parasitic infection.
It's not Lowly Worm's mom. Lowly Worm is an adult on this show. He's the adult. He just hangs out with children.
Really?
Yes, what? he has a license to fly an apple. He has to be at least 21.
Sure? Wait, are you saying? Wait, so I thought those were different worms. Are you saying that lowly worm is Drake?
Wait, Richard's isn't his name Richard Scary?
Who, Drake?
No, Drake's original name is not Richard Scary. It'd be dope if it was, though.
That would be wild.
What I love is that they're looking around for a gift and they're like, I don't know what to get her. I don't know what to get her. And then, like, I think Worm is just like, how about some clock? And they're like, yes.
I mean,
immediately,
that's
good, no conversation.
That's a good gift from a kid for an adult. Like, usually kids are like, yeah. Oh, I'll get a tie or like, oh, here's some weird thing from the dollar store. If a kid is like, hey, you know what would be dope? A really cool cuckoo clock. That's like the best kid. That's the best gift any kid has ever come up with.
Yeah, I was honestly surprised because I when they're like, why don't you get or I want to get her a diamond ring or a violin or a train set. Like diamond ring, I guess. Although you should know by that age, you can't fucking afford it.
Yeah.
No, but that was what was weird about it is he says diamond ring, train set, and the other one is just like, oh, are you just looking for stuff that you like? Implying that the little piggy loves diamond rings.
Yeah.
Listen, Miss Piggy has...
Cat. They're all pigs to me. You know why? Because they run into a cop, Chan, and what's that cop? A goddamn pig. You're right.
Right. They are not the pigs here. We never want to say that. I see. ACAB, all creatures are. Hold on. I'll get this.
ABTAC.
All animals are cops.
All. All. I lost it. Lost it, guys. I had something there.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
Oh, Busy Town. All Busy Town are. Cops.
That's all Busy Town citizens.
ABAC?
Yeah. Oh. ABAC. ABATAC.
All sentient beings in Busy Town are cops.
It's too you're never gonna get people to rally behind your cause with that long a name.
Isbacock.
We do have several like near misses because we've learned that this cat, Huckle. Is a maniac on the road, is just literally running over everybody, and his excuse is, is that the bell doesn't work on my bike, therefore it's not my fault I am mowing down every pedestrian.
I mean, listen, he's got a point.
Adjust your route.
It's like when you park at a broken money taker. What the hell are those things called?
A broken money taker.
No, you got it right.
I didn't realize that that's what we were calling Jewish people. Still, seems like a 16th century sort of thing, Gina. But I guess if we're bringing back
anti-Semitism,
let's just go all the way.
Parking meter. I remembered it. I just had some brain
fog. I'm trying to get jobs over here. I don't need this in my sphere.
That's fair. I mean, to be fair, though, if they actually listen to any of this podcast, you're not getting any jobs.
No. If any potential employer finds out I even do podcasts, much less listen to an episode of this.
Oh, yeah.
I put that I'm a former wrestler on my professional resume. I do not put podcasting anywhere near.
Yeah, because they don't want you to come to work and they're like, oh, God, is he going to want to talk to us about his podcast or something?
No, I think that sounds delightful, but that's just me. If I found out one of my coworkers had a podcast, I would listen the heck out of that show and find out that they're a Nazi. That's the problem with a lot of podcasts these days.
I actually told my current coworkers that I have a podcast. Zero have listened, and that's how I like it.
Yeah, I don't want anyone to listen.
No, I actually, I have had various coworkers that I've mentioned the Who Would Win show to, I'll just be at work trying to get my crap done, and my coworker will like show up in my office and be like, hey, listen to your show. Who do you think would win in a fight, Moon Knight or Daredevil? I'll be like, ugh. I don't want to deal with this right now. I do enough of this. on my own time, sir. I don't need, but you got to answer Moon Knight, I guess.
Do
I
you?
Well, you got to be polite, TV's Gina Ippolito.
Not me.
No, that's true. I've seen the way you interact with others on the break room. Also, for all you break room fans who thought you'd check out Gina's podcast, welcome. I'm sorry. okay. So they take the Huckle's got a shot. He wants to take a shortcut, which I'm already like, you already drive terribly. I don't want you taking a shortcut. Sure enough, yes, he crashes his bike into a pig police officer. I knew Richard Scarry was all right. I'm going to say it right now.
He crashed it into a postal worker.
I feel like he crashed into the police officer.
Are you going to make me show you the footage?
Oh, yes. God.
Now, look, maybe I'm wrong. I would like to see it, though, because I know he also crashed into a postal worker, but I really wanted him to crash into a police officer.
Look out!
Brake! Brake!
Oh, no.
Yikes!
Physical comedy
when
of the
I
worm,
said
though.
Brake, I didn't mean everything in Busy Town.
There is the cop.
Oh, and the cop's a dog. I remember this totally wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now I'm just mad at myself.
This is why white people are bad at police lineups.
Yeah, like, I'd have sent the wrong guy to jail.
Ray's like, I think it was a pig and he was a pilot. And they're like, are you sure you don't mean cat and cop? And he's like, postman and elephant?
I mean, that's fine. They break the clock they just bought because, you know, Huck's kind of an idiot. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Huck is not responsible. He didn't wrap the present at all, just put it in the basket of his bike and then crashes into, you know, someone who might have been a police officer undercover. We don't know. And the point I'm trying to make through all of this is bad job, Huck. Let's go to Mr. Fix-It. And when they say I want to take it to Mr. Fix-It, my first thought is like the Hulk.
Mm-mm. That was not your first thought.
That was my first thought. I wrote here Joe Fix-It, a.k.a. the Gray Hulk. Speaking of Hulk, Chance Kidd is with us on the show. Say hello. No, don't. Go to bed. It's probably far too late for you to be up.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Wild, new, fast, furious, and fun. That's Parker Brothers' exciting family game, Bug Out. All of you try to hook the crazy-looking bug out of the cage. And when you do, you yell, Bug Out! First player to hook him out 10 times wins in this fast-action fun game for the whole family. From Parker Brothers, Bug Out.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Anyway, Gray Hulk. I thought, look, the comic book, there's one comic book fan out there who was like, all right, Ray, I see what you're doing. And they appreciate it, Gina.
Well, that if that one is one of your coworkers, then fuck them.
God, I'm going to have to talk about this more. No, you know what? You're right. I don't want to do that.
I have not been listening. I hope you didn't say anything mean about me.
We're always subtly saying something mean about someone on this show.
I was going to say the one time you tune out, Chan, is the time we didn't say anything mean about you. And now I feel like it's a wasted opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had all the visual evidence there. You knew.
I saw what happened. I said what happened. The point I'm trying to make is Mr. Fix-It says you have a broken bike. You have a broken bell on your bike. And you have a broken clock. Give me 1 hour and this will all be fixed. And I am like, he is a genius.
What is this? What I
well, once I he says,
to, when they said Mr. No. First off, I thought broken clock, take it back to the clockmaker, you dumb-dumbs.
Oh, no, they do not
you're
take clocks
going
back
to Mr. Fix-It. Fine. Mr. Fix-It must be a person who fixes things. Here is Mr. Fix-It.
There.
What?
He's smashing all the teeth but one out of a pair of gums, Chan, like a fake dentures. What's your point?
Those aren't fake dentures. those are teeth that he took out of someone's mouth and bashed with a sledgehammer.
Well, at first, Jen, I thought to myself, this seems like a tall task for 1 hour to fix a broken bicycle set of tires, a bell, and an absolutely demolished cuckoo clock. And then I realized, oh, wait, Mr. Fix-It is deeply incompetent.
Not so, deeply incompetent, deeply weird.
No, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Now he gets the job done in an hour, Chan.
Yes,
but he doesn't do it well or correctly.
No. He has a busted ass bike, an absolutely shattered cuckoo clock, and in the space of 1 hour, he repairs the bicycle. The bicycle is now fully functioning. Did you see the tires on that thing?
It's best.
They
were squares,
dude. They were messed up, and that's not a tire that you can easily fix.
No, he had to replace the tire, I would think.
He does not have replacement tires. He fixed the tires. He fixed all that stuff. He fixed the clock, and it functions. Did you see the clock? Look at the goddamn clock.
Functions great.
He makes them both work. He makes them both work weirdly. The cuckoo now makes a bicycle bell sound, and the bicycle bell sound now makes a cuckoo sound.
Yes,
I would argue that Mr. Fix-It is up there doing some Island of Dr. Moreau shit. He's not incompetent. He is up to something.
No, I felt like he was deeply incompetent and then just stumbled into, like, he basically, so he does a lot of what we do on this show. He stumbles around for 55 minutes, realizes he only has 5 minutes to go, and then rushes to the end.
He's a Doc Brown type.
Yeah, and so he does come to a conclusion, much like this show. We come to a conclusion at the end. It might not be something good. It might not be something worth having, but we get there.
I think he made it better. I think he made it cooler.
Well, to be fair, they get it home. He's done. And the mom says this clock, which is a bike bell, a cuckoo clock, is perfect. I love it. It's the best thing I've ever had. And I teared up a little bit. Whatever. Shut up.
Again, as far as kid gifts go, this is a good gift. I don't care if it moves. It's not, you know, some weird like candy wrapper bracelet or a Homer Simpson tie for the 90th time.
It's a functioning fucking wall clock.
What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Kids are idiots.
I made so many ashtrays for my parents, and neither one of them ever smoked. I don't think people do that anymore.
I mean, I think they make stuff out of macaroni noodles.
Now, look, if my kid brought me home a cool incense burner that she made in a kiln, I'd be so jazzed for it. But, like, I'm at least three different times I made an ashtray for my parents because smoking was everywhere in the 80s, you guys. They smoked in restaurants, like through the restaurants and airplanes.
It's because
if my kid made me an ashtray, I would take up smoking again.
that's right.
And how much I love smoking.
So wait, now we get some sort of PSA that's like, don't die.
We do. The first one is put a stamp on your letters, you goddamn idiot.
Oh, right.
If you're going to mail something, put a stamp on it, piece of shit.
Right, they build up to
Shocking.
Don't die. They build up
don't
to don't
die.
Die.
The last one.
They start with the importance of proper postage stamps.
No, that you got to heighten, Gina. I know you as a writer know this. You have to heighten. but start by insulting him like you. I hope you put a stamp on that. Let's crawl in the mailbox and find out.
Hold on.
But. Make sure you have the right address, and don't forget the stamp, because it's the letter's ticket to a place on any map.
Oh, that doesn't rhyme. I hate that.
Map with stamp.
I don't care for that.
I'm more mad at him for mailing a letter to somebody who lives in his same town. Just go drop it off, you lazy piece of shit.
It's fun to open the mailbox and see mail.
It used to be.
They didn't have Zoom in 1994, Ray.
Well, that's a real problem. Well, here's the deal. What you're here for, the Irish part, the St. Patrick's Day tie-in part, is coming up next, and we'll be right back.
Let's see if I
remembered to put a commercial break there.
I'm going
to
guess no.
No, probably not. But I can dream. Oh, I can dream. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Ready to go to Ireland for St. Patrick's Day tie-in of the Richard Scarry Show?
I know I am.
Look, the Irish are known for two things, according to this show.
What did we all think those things were going to be?
Okay, I'm going to give you here's a picture. What does this make you think that the Irish are good at?
Yes.
If someone said to me the Irish are good at two things,
look.
I'm not. Am I allowed to say bombings?
Bombings is not where my brain went right away.
Honestly, it's not. Drinking and bombings.
I would say kissing is certainly one of them, because they all of those people wear the stickers that say "Kiss me, I'm Irish."
I assume
the
because
other thing is jumping around,
yeah,
jumping up, and getting right. down.
You're right. You're 100% correct. Look, I was just thinking drinking and popping out kids, but like that was, you know.
We're all bad. We're all terrible people.
No. You two are bad people. I am not.
No, listen.
I am the only one with a family-friendly joke here.
Chan, yours led directly to mine. So mine wasn't
a joke. Mine's accurate. If we're playing Family Feud, and
who's
you
probably- trying to get work out of this goddamn podcast? Because it's not me.
But here's the deal. I'm also quoting the joke from like literally 100 years ago. But obviously the Irish still do like drinking. Let's not pretend.
I think they'd be the first to admit it.
Yeah. Have you ever been to an Irish pub before? They don't go tolerant there.
I've straight up been to Ireland.
Oh, how was it, Gina?
It was a delight. I drank in a lot of pubs.
I feel like there's a third thing you should be adding to what the Irish are good at.
Cunnilingus?
Fair enough.
Well, you were there. I can't speak to that.
I did not pry for any details, so I wouldn't know.
Now, Gina, you went to Ireland, and you apparently enjoyed a room of... 24-year-old drone slaves and went drinking at a lot of pubs. When you go to another country, you're supposed to do stuff different than what you do here.
I also ate oysters at the Guinness factory. That's a thing you can only do there.
Is that what they're calling it now?
In case you're wondering,
I will say when researching for my Ireland trip, the one thing that they tell you not to do kiss the Blarney Stone. Why?
Really?
Because tourists got herpes.
I was about to say, they got herp, didn't they?
Yeah, because so many people are kissing it. So many people are
Who wouldn't know that?
That's what I'm saying, but they put it in a kid's cartoon, and they're like, oh, hey, this pig can't talk. He needs to kiss the Blarney Stone, and then he'll be smart. And every kid who saw this cartoon probably went and kissed the Blarney Stones. Every kid who watched Richard Scarry now has the herp.
Oh, no. Oh, by the way, the two things the Irish are known for, according to this cartoon, singing and talking.
Which also, we're really splitting hairs here. Singing and talking?
Well, they get knocked down, but they get up again. Ain't nothing going to keep them down.
There are... my understanding is there are documented cases of people with aphasia who could sing but not speak. I'll buy that.
Okay, fair enough. Look, we meet a character named Patrick O'Swine, and I couldn't be happier.
Oh, boy.
I mean, he's not a great husband.
He's not possessing desirable characteristics for a partner. Look,
there is a running, I'm going to call it a gag. I don't think it's very funny, where Patrick O'Swine asks his wife, Bessie, a question. At first, the first time it happens, I thought, because it was like, hey, do you want to like have some delicious stew or something like that? And she goes, and then he starts talking again. I thought that meant that she was so excited, like, that's wonderful. And he, you know, was like, okay, let's get two stews or whatever.
Yeah.
But then as the segment went on, that kept happening. He would ask her a question. She would go, and I realized that she was taking in a breath to speak, and he never let her speak. And I was like, the fuck is this?
Yeah. Is that the
joke? Because there's already a kid here who can't speak. So,
oh, yes.
Saying it's because he won't let the child speak, although the child just says oink, or is it nurture, not nature? It confused the point of the thing deeply.
Look, I think it was wild that we're watching this show where we're getting representation of a nonverbal autistic child or child with autism. Excuse me. I have to use the proper iconography.
Who, as we all know, can be cured with a magic stone.
Well, that's what
RFK told me. So
thank you. And hey, you don't get elected to be in charge of all of our health unless you know what you're talking about. Anyway, I got these magic crystals from the Health and Human Services, and I feel good about it.
Yeah, you should put one in your butt.
Gina, stop it. There's already one in my butt. Thank you.
You think he doesn't listen to the CDC regulations?
I mean, to be fair, I actually looked up the most recent CDC regulations for if you get, you know, cancer, and it just says tough it out, pussy. And yeah. I was like, I don't know, RFK. I don't know, dude.
Listen, we can't be taking 44 minutes per episode here because there's three of them.
We're going to blast through this one because this is what people came here for. But we have a nonverbal child who only says oink. And then they go to a pub. They're going to order a big old stew. And the three Irish guys from earlier crash the table and start playing weird, like, politeness word games. Like, they're the two killers from the movie Funny Games. And I got really upset by them. I wanted them to die.
Listen, I will say I was recently in Scotland, and I realized that that is not the same as Ireland, but I did go into a bar in Scotland, and there was a table of four dudes that were like, you know, and two of them were like in their 60s, and they were like, oi, come sit with us. And I was like, all right. And I think that sitting with each other is a thing that they do in pub happy countries.
Okay. We're a pub happy country. We don't do that at all.
I don't think we're a happy anything country anymore.
There's a lot of things we do joyfully, but those things are not good. Unfortunately. No, I hate it. The fact that the monkey fell into their pot of stew, I was just like, you know what? This should be. Where's RoboCop when you need him? Where's Judge Dredd to execute them on the spot? That's what I wanted to know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they're going to help your kid talk. And how are they going to do that? By taking him to Blarney Castle and kissing the stone. And immediately I'm like, are they just going to abduct the child? Are the parents staying here while the drunken Irishmen abduct a child?
Hopefully.
And that turned out to be not the case. No. And this is where I first noticed the, yes, it's not just a one moment. It's a bit, Chan, where they do it, I think, six times in the episode, where the wife takes a breath to say something and is immediately cut off by the husband.
It fucking sucks.
She should at some point say, hey, motherfucker, shut your mouth. That's what I would have done.
I feel like probably the real third thing that the Irish are good at is beating their wives. It's probably
the there it is, ladies and gentlemen. If you were waiting for it, Chan dropped it. Now, I would argue there is a twist coming at the end of this episode that makes this bit make perfect sense.
Don't tease people.
Okay, I'll just go ahead and say it. Look, at the end of the episode, the mom turns right to the camera and says, oink, implying she also is nonverbal with autism.
No.
And therefore, he knew she wouldn't say anything.
She was doing a bit.
Was it a bit, or is this just how they live?
No, it's a bit. She was doing a bit because she smiles after it. She's like, no, I'm kidding. I can talk. It's just no one wants to hear my opinion, bitch.
Here's the deal. I think much like the end of Inception, this is up for audience interpretation.
That's
there's
it.
A leprechaun
That's our...
crossing.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
There's a leprechaun. It's like a bunny or something. Like, that was weird. Here's the mythos. At one point, this Irish guy saved a witch from drowning, but he couldn't talk even though he was like the king. That's a good meme. Only three people will get it, and they're on this show, Chan, but I'm into it.
Are you seeing that forward or backwards?
Forwards.
Oh, good. Okay. I don't know.
That's Chan with the goat from this episode is saying RFK offers medical advice.
We're going to get a cease and desist letter. We're never allowed to podcast again.
If anybody's been listening to this show for the 9.5 years it's been on the air, we're all getting arrested under the new administration by summer anyway. So
that's true.
We're doing the 10th year anniversary from jail. I'm not going to pretend otherwise. Anyway, this guy saved a witch from drowning. She dropped a giant Blarney stone on him and his lips inadvertently touched it. Therefore, he could now speak normally.
And also has herpes.
I guess it's a fair trade-off. I would want to be able to talk.
In exchange for the herp, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah.
So we find out that the monkey is trying to... This is really awkward because you got to like slide down a 45-degree slope in this castle tower to kiss the Blarney Stone. You got to slide down while somebody holds you. We find out the monkey character, who I already wish death on, has very loose pants. They fly off of him and he falls out the window and like three stories down. He's fine, unfortunately. But he kisses the stone to show it. And then little piggy.
He destroys their fucking car.
Don't worry about that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Their car is ruined. But then the little boy leans down, kisses the stone, gets the herp. And then he immediately starts talking, but can't stop talking. And says Aaron go Brog like 72 times in his nonsense. Chan, can we get a little clip here of this boy talking? Because I'd rather he stay nonverbal, I'll say it.
Mother McCree, Patrick O'Swine, Casey O'Reilly.
That's my boy.
O'Brien, O'Bannon, O'Doul, O'Neill, O'Toole.
Fine, son. You don't want to tire yourself out.
O'Brien, O'Hare, O'Hara, O'Malley, O'Me, O'My, O'You, Ireland forever. Erin O'Brien, Cork County, Dublin, Ulster, Galway, O'Keefe, O'Connor, O'Banion.
Will the child Aaron never O'Brien, stop talking?
O'Brien, eventually, possibly. Casey O'Reilly, probably not.
Limerick, O'Keefe.
I don't know, man.
I think that dad went home and killed him.
Well, Chan, you have a child. Does your child go off on just random whatever he can think of spouts of nonsense?
Only when a webcam is on.
And that's literally how this ends. That's part two, ladies and gentlemen. Let's launch right into part three before we lose Gina forever.
That was our St. Patrick's Day spectacular. BT-dubs.
That was it. We didn't give you much this year, but we gave you more than usual. And at least it's on time.
You got it on time. Unless, of course, we forget to post this.
Very on the table.
We recorded like a week and a half in advance, so we're like on top of this.
Chan, this reminds me, I'm going to need last week's episode for tonight.
I've lost it.
The sad part is I do not know if you are kidding me or...
I was going to say, is it a bit or is it not a bit? Who knows?
I don't even know. Look, here's our one. Look for traffic, you idiot children. That's our next PSA. If you're going to cross the street, don't get hit by a car, dumb shit.
Yeah. I mean, good advice, I guess.
And this is where we meet grouchy Mr. Gronkle, who's a warthog in the Busy Town universe, or the BTU, as we call it. And I realized about 10 seconds into it that that Mr. Gronkle is a proxy for one Robert Clark Chan, ladies and gentlemen. If Robert Clark Chan was dropped into the Busy Town Richard Scarry universe, this is who he would be. Chan, tell me I'm wrong.
I think he's the most.
He's doing a visual bit right now, ladies and gentlemen, which is famously popular and good for audio mediums such as podcasting.
It's also great as I'm trying to figure out the controls of this thing.
Yeah, so you're also going to like fourth and fifth screens we've never seen before. What is
happening?
Don't
worry about that. As Ray famously says.
And I do. Look, Chan, this guy is super cranky. He gets mad at pedestrians for just existing. He gets mad at people for being around him, but the man has a bridge over like a lake in his front yard. Why would he be so mad?
Because rich people can only need more. They can't ever be satisfied. Also, I would take issue with with me being the grumpy one. Mm-hmm, I thought this was a pretty good cartoon.
You know what? I take it back.
It's too slow. I'm an adult and can't to handle children's media. Give me a job at Nickelodeon. Stop.
Chan, that is a weird way to talk about our My Three Dads co-pilot, Marshall Givens, but I understand.
I mean, it was pretty good, though, wasn't it?
I mean, here's the deal. It was spot on when the cameras aren't rolling. Yeah. We meet a hippo lady at his front door who's trying to sell like Girl Scout cookies, basically. And
she has
Hulk level strength. He tries to shut the door and she sticks out one finger and he cannot budge it.
She's a GD hippo, yo.
Yeah,
what
I
do
loved
you
it.
Expect?
But at a certain point, she's kind of being a dick. I understand where he's coming from, Mr. Gronkle. Like, he said he doesn't want to buy your cookies, and you won't leave his porch or even let him shut his front door with your super strength. Leave this man alone.
Yeah, I agree. I would turn the hose on this hippo.
So I got two Mr. Gronkles over here trying to tell me that I'm the grumpy one.
If someone knocks on your door and says, do you want to buy something? And you say, no, thank you. And then they stick their foot in your door so you can't close it. I'm assuming I'm about to be house robbed.
I mean, this does end with a home invasion and him ending up in the Hispanic room.
I mean, it literally does. she was being outrageous. And this is when the children walk by. And they say, hey, team, you know what might be fun? Let's trespass on this grumpy man's property.
Check out that sweet-ass Apple snowmobile.
Dude, this is the shit right here. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. They need to, like, actually make these things, right? Like, there's a whole generation of people who are now our age and have money and grew up with these books that would spend too much money on Apple products. Oh, wait.
I really genuinely want
an Apple car.
Yeah.
Oh,
if Steve Jobs were alive today, maybe he would have made it happen.
Oh, Gina, have I got a product for you? What if I told you they made an apple with a worm in it hand puppet?
That doesn't sound like something I can drive.
Look, you can't drive it. It's not a full-size car, Gina, and I hate to disappoint you like this. But you could drive it in your imagination.
Well, that's not going to get me to work.
Look, now when the hippo lady left his property, she broke one of the gate doors off his hinges. Again, I understand why he's grumpy. And the kids are completely in the wrong here as they're being shuffled by and they say, let's stop our tram here, put on our skates, and trespass on this angry guy's property who we don't know very well. But look, his gate's been broken off the hinges. Surely, as every tagger has ever said to any business.
No. He broke the first door off. He screams at her to get the fuck out, and she's terrified. This old man screaming at a young girl. Of course she's terrified. He might rape and kill her. Look at the guy.
Well, I didn't read that into it.
I mean, look at the guy.
Look, he is unpleasant. I wouldn't want to be around this guy.
He does give some Harvey Weinstein vibes.
No, this is a guy who obviously voted for our current president and is excited because those transgenic mice will finally not get the support they need.
Mm-hmm.
Just putting it out there.
This is really going to not
make it. The kids are completely in the wrong here. You cannot do this. They're ice skating, and not only that, they're ice skating and recognize that his pond is unsafe.
Well, they can go on
everything
one side of it.
Everything they are doing is bad.
Yeah, I agree.
So they go to the other side.
Shoot those kids.
I thought we were going for some Clint Eastwood here, where he was going to say, get off my lawn and pull out a shotgun. What he does do is pull out legitimately an offensive weapon. He pulls out a club and then falls down the stairs immediately. And I laughed. Whatever.
I mean, I feel like it's a shillelagh. So, you know, because we're keeping in this whole,
you know,
Irish.
What? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I go with that. Look, and I just wrote here, my note at this point in the episode is, it feels like 99% of his problems would go away if people just left him alone.
Yeah, he just wants to be left alone.
I mean, the dude is a landlord. He's a slumlord.
Oh, boy.
I'm basing it just on his demeanor and his wealth.
Wait,
status.
Are there slums in the Richard Scarry Busy Town?
100%.
There's rotten apple houses. There's good apple houses and apple houses.
Well, he goes after the children to violently attack them with his cudgel. And then he falls through the thin ice. Hey, good job writing. He falls through the thin ice talked about earlier, falls in the water. And the children use a ladder and our worm friend, Loli the Worm, to pull him up by his nose. The worm wraps around his nose and pulls up a full-on adult body by the nose. You want to know why he's cranky? Because you pulled him out of the frozen lake by the nose. But he has the opposite feeling of what I would. And now he feels part of his community. Christmas is for children. Yeah, that looks painful as F, dude.
Listen, no one ever told me something.
No one ever told me kids exist. I don't know what he's talking about. He could have seen that if he had eyes. I'm unhappy with him. I'm unhappy with everyone in this episode. But he decides to throw a party. And he decides to throw a party to celebrate the children. And my next note is, well, that didn't take very much, did it?
I mean, they did save his fucking life. So
yeah, that's
one conversation convinces you to stop being an aggressively terrible human being?
No, I think he'll be back to his old ways in a week. I think this newfound friendliness will last about that long, and then he'll be like, fuck this.
Now I know what kids are good for. Kids are for curing grumpy, grouchy old hearts like mine.
I mean,
he sounds terrible.
He also has that hard-boiled detective from the 1930s voice.
Yeah,
that I must also mention.
He sounds terrifying.
He's He sounds phenomenal. Look, I love this voice. I'm completely into it. He sounds like Harvey Fierstein up in here. and I'm here for it. Chen, can we hear a little bit more of Mr. Grumple or whatever the hell his name is?
No.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I asked. The point I'm trying to make is this episode now ends.
That was it. Yeah, that is.
That is all we got. So would the two of you recommend the Richard Scary Story Hour or whatever this is called to other people?
I would recommend it if you could find it on YouTube and watch it at 1.5 speed.
Look, when you're making memories as a child, you really want to do it as quickly as possible. We got to get this shit out of the way so we get on the real important stuff of watching episode 4 of Daredevil Born Again.
Thank you. Jen, are there moments when, you have a child roughly the same age as mine. Are there moments when your child embraces you and the first thing that goes through your mind is, how long is this going to take?
If we could just get through the boring years of his upbringing, like,
oh my God,
age 0 to 27.
I know they really say, I want to live in this moment, but I'm happy to move forward. I kid, of course. Children are precious. Mr. Gronkle taught me that.
I mean, look, here's the thing. Hugs from children are wonderful so long as there isn't a clear ulterior motive, as in, say, I should have been in bed half an hour ago, and yet I'm still up.
Hey, wait, that just happened.
What? Is that what was going on over here?
Oh, wow. That's why you record in the garage, Chan.
It's true. You should know better.
Yeah. I should definitely have planned ahead and found a house in the Los Angeles housing market with a garage that we could afford that wasn't built on, I was going to say like a burial ground, but I'm fresh bodies, I think, is what it would take for us to find a place with a garage. It would have to be built on currently decomposing bodies.
Jen, just fail upward in your various video game jobs until you can afford it.
Okay, I'm gonna need some skin bleach and a depersonalitynator. The thing that you use, Ray, to make your personality dull and lifeless.
Yes, that's the thing I'm definitely known for, especially in workplace environments, being boring.
I can't tell you white people apart. I don't know. I assume that is how it goes. I assume you're the most lively person in your building full of white people.
You guys, I have something to admit right now. Mm-hmm. This has been a very long term. I am Harry Connick Jr. And we've been doing this for 9.5 years to see if Chen would ever notice.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't.
The guy who sings and stuff.
Yes, Robert Clark Chan. He's an actor and a singer. I'm very talented.
Is he an actor?
I don't think he's an actor.
Such movies as that one with Mick Jagger.
No. I do recall that he has been in roles. And if you pull up IMDb, it will show that he has been.
I'm trying to remember the name of it, and I cannot remember the name of this dumbass movie. It doesn't matter. The bit's over. Gina wants to go watch Daredevil. Why are we stopping this from happening?
I don't know. I've been asking myself this for 9 years.
I mean, basically 10 minutes.
Almost 10. We should probably finish this season at some point. We have one Sigma 6 to go, ladies and gentlemen. And this cool thing I want to have happen, I'm wondering if we shouldn't just keep moving. I don't know. Here's the deal. We're going to end this show by the end of April. Season 8 ends by the end of April, and we're moving on to Renegades, I think, next.
Ooh, she's a little renegade.
Oh, I would have gone with the Sticks song.
Daddy's
a renegade who
best.
Had it made, retrieve for a bounty, never more to go astray. This will be the end today of the wanted man.
Oh, look, Harry Connick Jr. was in Dolphin Tale 2, the classic Dolphin Tale 2.
I remember making it.
Of the Dolphin Tale saga?
It's part of a trilogy.
Part 2 known as the best one.
Yeah, they left us on a cliffhanger of the Dolphin Tale 2 where they cut off his tail.
No! I hate this. Yeah,
it's
end
actually
it.
Called Dolphin Tale? Question mark.
End
Are
it!
We done here?
The Busy World of Richard Scarry.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.